be thou glorified.
In Jesus' name. Somebody lift your hands and say, more, Lord. Again, say, more, Lord. I woke up one morning with such sweet melody. I ran on the way to the bathroom. What kind of song is this? I rushed to record it. It moves me. O Son of God, you are called the Son of Righteousness, with healing wrapped all around your wings. If he opens his wing, bam, healings. You cannot be afflicted. You cannot remain with infirmity in the atmosphere of the Son of Righteousness. Everyone who came in here with any form of mental, spiritual, career infirmity, it is ending right now. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. I'm going to trust God to be as fast and rapid as possible. 23:25, he said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. God's provision for divine health. Part 2. We saw in scripture today that God's perfect. Please, I'm sure that there's no unnecessary noise going on anywhere. God's perfect will for his people is divine health. Perfect will. And we are going to be looking at 4 scriptural facts that show us that it is God's perfect will for his people to live in health. Fact number 1. God made man with no instruction or direction regarding disease or its cure. God made Adam with no instruction or direction regarding disease or its cure. That's fact number 1. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. There was nothing there that said, and expect to have headache. Expect fever. Expect that once in a while if mosquito encounters you, you might lie down for it for some days. And in case that happens, this is the leaf to use. There was no instruction. There was no direction. He gave him direction concerning everything else, but there was no instruction. There was no direction regarding disease or ill health, or what to do in his treatment or cure. The meaning of that is, there was no provision for disease at creation. There was no provision for affliction. There was no forecasting of infirmity. There was no suggestion that man could be a victim of the microorganisms that he was created to command.
When God said, have dominion, the dominion includes dominion over viruses, dominion over bacteria, dominion over disease-causing pathogens, dominion over the things that put people on admission and cause some people to go to the grave today. He gave man absolute dominion and made no room for cure, for anything, because there was nothing that was meant to suffice. So the fall brought disease. But I speak tonight and I say, what was not so in the beginning that is in your body tonight shall expire. By the power of the communion of the blood of Jesus, what was not there from the beginning that is ravaging your body right now, it shall expire by the anointing. Shout the loudest, amen. So what was number one fact? It's that God made man with no instruction or direction regarding disease or its cure. Fact number two says, the covenant fathers lived to very good old age in vitality and health. The covenant fathers in scriptures, those that walked with God in covenant, they lived to very good old age in vitality and health. Who are those I'm referring to? Let's start with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 25 and in verse 7 to verse 8, the Bible said, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. That's 175 years. 60. 15. 175 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in bad old age. He died with 15 people nursing him. He died in good old age, an old man, and empty of years. Full of years, and what? And was gathered to his people. 175 years old, not squeezing his eyes. There was no record of walking stick. 175. Abraham is reference for faith, reference for blessing, reference for covenant in scripture. If you say that was Abraham, what of Isaac? In Genesis 35 from verse 28 to 29, Genesis 35, 28 to 29, it says, and the days of Isaac were 104. He added 5 more years to his father's age. His father was 175 before he died. He was 180. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. It's covenant father number two. What of Jacob? That one gathered his children. Genesis 49, he said, let me tell you what will befall you in the end of your life. And then in verse 33, after he finished blessing, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding, it takes a commander to command. A sick person does not command. A person battling for his breath doesn't command. He finished commanding his sons. He gathered his feet to his bed. I said, bye, see you when you come. And yielded up his ghost and was gathered to his people. He was 147 years old. Am I communicating?
Somebody may be asking me, how does this concern me? Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 to 14. That is where it concerns you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus Christ is the junction, is the Abrahamo covenant junction, is the junction where the Abrahamic blessing is converted through covenant to anybody joined to Christ. So when we sing, Abraham's blessings are mine, Abraham's blessings are mine, it was the blood of Jesus that made that possible. So Abraham's blessing includes Abraham's kakarakarity. It includes Abraham's energy. It includes Abraham's vitality. It includes Abraham's health. Take your seat. How many of you know that Abraham was not a weak man? When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham rose up early in the morning. And the Bible said that he went uphill 3 days journey, an old man of over 100 years, because he gave birth to Isaac at 800. Sarah was 90. Isaac was a teenager, about 17, 18 years thereabout. So you are talking about a man of almost 120 years. Walking 3 days, climbing up a mountain. And when it was time, he tied the man's hand, he tied the young man's hand. And tied him as a sacrifice and lifted him and dropped him on the altar. When last an old man in your village do like that? And when Sarah died, Abraham remarried. At that age, you should not be interested anymore. Abraham remarried to Keturah. Gave birth to 6 guys. That is power, man. Fire. So, that the blessings, that the health, that the vitality, that the energy of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So if Abraham was not sickly, weakly, break up, break down today, break up tomorrow, and Abraham was doing exploits, climbing mountains at the age of 120, what are you doing at the age of 35 holding your waist? What are you doing at the age of 40, struggling for health? I announce to somebody here today, the health and the energy and the vitality of Abraham is coming upon you, is coming upon your family, is coming upon your children, is coming upon your destiny. Shout yes! Lift your hands, say, Abraham's blessings are mine! The blessing of health, the blessing of strength, the blessing of vitality is mine. Abraham was not sickly. He was not weakly. I am not sickly. I am not weakly. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. Does that make any sense? It makes some sense. Fact number 3. How do we know that it is God's plan for his people to live in health? 3. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to take away the sicknesses of humanity. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to take away the sicknesses of humanity. Our challenge is that many people received Jesus as Savior, but they did not receive him as healer. They accepted that he is the Savior from sin and from hell,
But they find it hard to accept him as healer of their affliction. But Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, not just to take the sins of the world, but to take the sicknesses of humanity. How do you know, Pastor? Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. The Bible said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
Isaiah said, we are healed. Isaiah was looking at the present and looking forward. But Peter was looking back. Then Peter put it in past tense. By his stripes, we are healed, Isaiah said. But in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were. What minute were? Did you hear my question? What minute were? By his stripes you were. What minute that? Look at him and say, I were healed. I were healed. It may not sound grammatic, but I want you to say it like that. I were healed. Are you about to be healed? Is God speaking to somebody here? You were healed. What about anything you feel on your body now? It's not your own. Come on, Usher, you are.
Come here.
Matthew 8:17. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Somebody is moving about like this with certain things on their body. Maybe they say the mother had the hypertension, diabetes, peptic ulcer disease, hepatitis. And the Bible said, himself took. Place that scripture. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the one we just read from Isaiah now, saying himself took our infirmities. And what? Bear our sicknesses. Please help me took it. Did you hear what I said? Help me took it. Whatever I am meant to have, where is it now? He took it. If I begin to feel anything today, what is that? It's not my own. The one I am meant to carry was taken. Hey! Are you just sitting and looking like that? Stand on your feet in the shop. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus. Jesus took every affliction yesterday, today, and tomorrow I was meant to carry. So every pain now, back to sender. Say, in the name of Jesus, every infirmity, back to your owner. My own was carried by Jesus Christ. He took. What has been taken does not exist. If the devil cannot uncane him, by his stripes, every stripe transmitted an affliction. When they did, bam, rheumatoid arthritis, bam, human immunodeficiency virus, bam, human papilloma virus, bam, malignant melanoma, bam, Disseminated lupus erythematosus. Bam! Disseminated intravascular coagulopathy. Bam! Every affliction. Bam! 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 Cervical cancer. Bam! Keratoconjunctivitis. Bam!
Diabetes mellitus. Hypertension. Sickle cell anemia. Erythrocytosis.
Ay, 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 ay.
Hey! Except the devil can uncane him by his whips, that is stripes, by his whips we will heal. If they cannot whip him, prophesy by this light today, any disease, affliction packaged by the devil for you, for your family, for your loved ones, is returned back to hell. Return back to the devil. Return back to the devil. Shout the loudest, amen.
Look at your neighbor, say, he carried my sicknesses. Jesus carried my sicknesses permanently. No devil can refund it. Help me walk to seven people, shake their hands and tell them, I am free. I am free. I am. By this revelation, somebody is free. He sent forth his word.
And please remain standing first. I want to read that passage to you again. Isaiah 53 verse 5. There's something more there. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's right. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes. You know the meaning of chastisement? Anything that puts our peace under pressure was upon him. Anything that puts your peace under pressure, anything that does not want you to rest, was part of what he carried. Anything that wouldn't want your life to be at peace, he carried it. Therefore, any crisis the devil has introduced in your life, I declare it returned back to hell. Every trouble ravaging your life now, under the next 24 hours, I command them to expire. Lift your hands, say, I receive my peace. I have my peace because of Christ. I have my peace.
Say after me, the Christ is the answer to the crisis.
Take your seat. I like us to take it by faith. Carry it and war with it. Satan, I refuse for you to impose on me what is not mine. I refuse for you to impose on me what Jesus already handled. I refuse to carry what he carried. That was part number three, and finally, number four. The body of the child of God is God's mobile temple. Purchased or bought. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. Say that again. The body of the child of God is God's mobile temple, purchased by the blood of Jesus. What are you talking about? First Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. Say what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't own yourself, Belente devil. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Your body is the temple. Before I go far, how would you feel, sir? You came to your house and you saw somebody you don't know cooking in the kitchen, watching the TV. In fact, he poured water on the floor. Toilet is not flushed. Everywhere is dirty. Things are scattered. And you saw the person sitting there. What are you going to say or do? There are two conclusions. It's either there's a criminality problem or a mentality problem. This man is either a criminal or a mad person. So either a policeman or a psychiatrist should diagnose him. Or both. And if he's a criminal, he will be assisted to receive the correct treatment. God said, your house is not a common room. Have you been to universities where they call some places common room? Everybody can enter. It belongs to everybody. Your life is not a common room. You were bought with a price. And as you are walking on the road, you are a temple in motion. I'm a mobile temple. I preach a message. I'd like you to pick up that message. You are a temple in motion. And the only thing that happens in temples are the only thing that are permitted to happen in you. He said, I live in you. Is God speaking to somebody at all? I live in you. The thief that cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy is not permitted to transact transactions in your temple. Somebody say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Matthew chapter 21. Jesus came to the temple one day. In verse 12. And he saw them buying and selling. Matthew 21, 12. He went into the temple of God. How many temples of God are here? I just told you now your body is the temple. He went into the temple of God. So once in a while he visits the temple. Right, but he lives in the temple. He went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. All the nyama nyama, sickle cell, bacteria, parasites. Look at that place still. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said, it is written, my temple. Verse 13 and 14, please be sharp. He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Who is the thief? And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Who is the thief? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and to destroy. Anybody that comes to steal your health and take your peace is the thief. Spirits of infirmity. He said, if it is my temple, they are not permitted to stay there. Transactions of hepatitis is not meant to go on there. Transfers of hypertension are not permitted to continue there. Transactions involving typhoid is not meant to be going on inside the temple. Is God speaking to anybody here? I speak by the same authority with which Jesus cleaned out the temple. Whatever is in this temple,
temple of yours, this temple of God that is your body, that God Almighty has not planted there, by the communion tonight, it shall be flushed out. Say amen. Like a believer, it shall be flushed out. Lift your right hand and say, I am a mobile temple. In the name of Jesus,
shall be flushed out. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. Facts that show that God's perfect will for his people is health. Somebody say amen. Are there scriptures that promise us divine health? I'm going to look at three of them. And then Psalm 103. Scriptural promises of divine health. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, including forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth your life from destruction, so you don't die before your time. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That is called favor. He satisfieth your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed, youthified, youngenized, like the eagles. But a major provision is he healeth all. There are people who will trust God for the healing of fever. But when it is something else, he healeth all. Healeth is present continuous. He healed yesterday. He is healing now. He will heal tomorrow. He healeth all. Get ready for the healing of all. Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42. Verse 5. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So God is the health of your countenance. How many of you know that the doctors use the countenance to check the health status in most cases? The doctors can tell so many things when he sees your eyes. He can see a liver disease by seeing the yellowness of the eyes. You can see a blood disease by seeing the pallor or the paleness of the eyes. You can see so many things from the eyes. You can see puffy face that may show that the kidney is failing. Or you can see another kind of fishy, there's something we call fishy hypocritical, that can show that there's certain terrible affliction of the abdomen. It looks at your face, you see so many things. But God said, he is the health of your countenance. So I will invade your life, heal you, and it will reflect on your face. He is the health of your countenance. Is God speaking to somebody here? I speak to someone here today. Anything in your system that is currently bringing disease on your face, even depression, mental illness, can be seen on the face. I prophesy health for your countenance. Health for your countenance. Health for your countenance. Shout the loudest. Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. And finally, 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health,
Even as thy soul prospereth. I wish, if God wishes it, who can unwish it? That you prosper and be in health. It is my wish, it is my desire. We used to sing, when Jesus says yes, nobody can. I wish above everything that you may be in health, prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So divine health and absolute health is your portion. Every mountain planted anywhere in your body, today they are dissipated, dematerialized and disintegrated in the name of Jesus. How do you experience divine health? We'll look at majority of this by Sunday. But number one, we said possess scriptural revelations on divine health. Possess scriptural revelations on divine health. John chapter 8 verse 32 said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is key to triumph. Truth is key to triumph. Reality brings results. When you see the reality concerning your health, what God has promised you in scripture, it imparts results. Truth concerning healing brings freedom in the area of health. Truth concerning financial supplies brings freedom in financial areas. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 1 verse 5 said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of divine health, if you connect that light and you possess it, it destroys the darkness of infirmity. Somebody say aloud, amen. And by Sunday, we are going to be talking more in this regard. But it is not something you say, oh, I got the revelation that of my healing 17 years ago. It's not something you say you got 17 years ago. It is something you renew and refresh and recharge. You renew, you refresh, you recharge it. It's like somebody said, I took sleeping tablet three months ago. And you expect it to be functioning now. It doesn't work like that. In medicine, there are drugs that they give to you and they call it start dose. Maybe there is some level of blood pressure or blood sugar or something, and they give you bam to bring it down. And then there's a one they call maintenance dose. That one normally is not as heavy as the original one, just to keep it in that range. That is how all truths are parallel, as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded continuously from the mouth of God. The revelations of yesterday cannot handle the confrontations of tomorrow. You need to renew it permanently. If God gave you a word or insight about your health, renew it, recharge it. The kind of message you are hearing now, pick it up once in a while, listen to them afresh. Let it renew your faith, refire your faith, and then you are on course. Someone say amen. And possess scriptural revelations on divine health. Number two, operate in faith. Operate faith for divine health. Operate faith for divine health. There is nothing that makes whole like faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. Mark chapter 5 verse 34. That was the issue with the woman with the issue of blood. Her faith made her whole. Luke chapter 17 verse 19, the leper, the tenth leper that returned back to say thank you, Jesus said unto him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. So faith makes whole. Faith is a guarantee of health, right? And that faith comes through the insight of the word, comes through acting on what the word tells you to do about your health. You receive light on the word, do what the word says you should do about your health. And we're going to know more about that on Sunday. And then as you do that, your faith is at work. And your faith makes you whole. Your faith makes you whole. Hallelujah. And finally, thirdly, fulfill conditions for divine health. You fulfill conditions for divine health. Like I said in the first service, we shall look at some of these by Sunday. There are
conditions in scripture that make for divine health. The fact that God provided for our divine health does not make divine health automatic for many people, because there are conditions, spiritual conditions, natural conditions. Just give you one tiny example. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good, like medicine. It doesn't matter how much you quote scripture. If you have refused to be happy, you can't be healthy. You can't. And like I said again, we're looking at that in details. So there are conditions for health. Conditions for divine health. The Bible, the scripture has provided, given us a lot of provisions, but there are, for every provision, there are conditions. And that has to be met. I said in the first service that you open your chest in the winter wind of New York in December, and you are wearing only singlet or sleeveless, whatever it is. They say, in fact, you just pulled your shirt. Say, I want to demonstrate faith. The Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed. The Bible says, nothing can by any means hurt me, including cold. By the time you are harvested to the intensive care unit for acute chest infection, maybe you open your eyes in eternity to confess to God the stupidity that brought to your calamity. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Open your chest. There are people that no matter the amount of sweetener, whatever it is, it is never enough. They are almost literally drinking sugar. At a very, very young age, they are diagnosed with diabetes. I said, sir, the devil is a liar. It's not the lie of the devil. You caught diasugaries. Diabetes. Am I communicating at all? So there are several things that people do, and they blame the devil. So there are conditions we must meet. And as those conditions are met, the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That is, I did what I was not meant to do. I took some things for granted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Say, but now, have I kept thy... Place it back on the screen, 119, 163. Now have I kept thy word? I went astray. Hallelujah. There are people who sleep as if they are practicing to win a sleeping competition. And such a lifestyle can degenerate the system. It's like a car that is parked. If it is not used for a long time, something must go wrong. Either the tire is flat or the battery ran down. Indolence is doorway to decadence. Things decay where things are not put to work. When you have a house that people are not living in, after a while, if you are not careful, you begin to notice cracks. Lizards everywhere. So there are many laws that must be kept. There are principles that keep people healthy. And those principles must be maintained. There are people who are so tired, they are tired of being tired. And they are tired of doing nothing. It's a new day for you. Did you receive something at all? How many of you believe no affliction can survive in your body? Stand on your feet to the shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. The loudest shout of praise. Lift up your two hands and let's appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him the praise. Give him the honor.
Lift up your two hands and say after me, say, Father, I am aware that at creation, you made no provision for illness or its cure. Therefore, I receive total health and healing and deliverance from you. Father, I am a covenant child of Abraham. I connect with the Abrahamic blessing of divine health, of strength, of energy, of vitality through the blood of Jesus. Father, Jesus died on the cross to take away my infirmities. What is taken does not exist. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be afflicted in the name of Jesus. Father, my body is your temple. I am a mobile temple. I refuse to harbor affliction. No stranger shall dwell in this temple, in this body, which is your temple. In the name of Jesus, I make demands on scriptural light for divine health. Help me, Lord, with the faith for healing. Help me, Lord, to fulfill the conditions. I receive grace to meet those conditions. Now, lift your voice and speak to God. Lift your voice and speak to God. Honor him, adore him.
One who in heaven on earth, oh Lord, you are worthy, Lord, and I pray. I honor Judah, oh Lord, who is in you are worthy, 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 Lord. Oh, Lord, you are worthy, 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 Lord.
The forgiveness of iniquities is tied to the healing of diseases. You are here tonight and you want to say to me, Pastor, I want to make my way right with God. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want today to mark a